David, thank you for your prayer tonight and for petitioning God on our behalf. And Sam, thank you for the great song service tonight. You know, you've often heard it said that the grass is always greener on the other side. Have you ever noticed maybe driving down the highway sometime and you might see a cow over there feeding on green grass in which the cow has been placed, but their neck or their head is through the fence over on the other pasture over there eating the same green grass? I guess cattle even think that it's always greener on the other side. We know that really isn't true at all. Maybe we have that kind of concept within our mind. But we know that it isn't true. We have a lot of people that think, well, another man's job is always the easiest. Or perhaps maybe one man's wife is always the prettiest. And, if I could just do this, I would be so satisfied in life. If I could have all the things that I wanted, and I know it's out there, but it's on the other side of the fence. We know that is just not true. Fulfillment is letting go of what you think your life is supposed to look like. Irma Bombeck once said that the grass is always greener over the septic tank, and that's true too, isn't it? Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if the grass looks greener on the other side, stop staring at it, stop comparing it, and stop complaining and start watering the grass that you're standing on. You know, that is so true in life, isn't it? When you stop and think about your own life where you are, the grass is greener right where you are. You know, through the years, I have seen gospel preachers move, and I have been so blessed to be able to be with this congregation for now we've started our 53rd year, which is just really remarkable. And I tell people all the time, it's because I work with such a great and wonderful people. And I mean that sincerely. But I have seen preachers move from one place to the other thinking that it's going to be better on the other side. You know, the church down the way is going to be much, much better, and we'll get along, and everything's going to be great. That's a facade. That just simply means you're dreaming. You're not in real time. It just doesn't work that way. A lot of it has to do with the attitude of those who preach, I think, and teach and work with the congregation as well. And but too oftentimes people think that the other man's job is really always the best job. Less work, more money. I mean, we could go on and on actually talking about it. And they are simply unfulfilled in their life and in their walk with God, spiritually unfulfilled. I've seen people who had a lot of money in life, but they were unfulfilled in their life. They weren't happy. They weren't happy with their job. They weren't happy with their family. They weren't happy with church members. I mean, they always had something to gripe about in life. Well, when we think about this subject, actually, of is the grass greener on the other side, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the keys to spiritual fulfillment. And it really is an important thing. We have to unlock the path of our spiritual fulfillment. It's kind of like I said something this morning, that it is up to us to feel fulfilled in life. No one else can do it for you. But you ask yourself the question, does God really want me to experience that fulfillment that we're talking about? You know, a lot of women do a lot of things at home. I mean, they have babies. You know, they have to work on the computer. They have to balance the checking account. I mean, there are just a lot of things. And I've had women even ask me, how can I feel fulfilled when I have all these responsibilities that are laying upon me? Well, even in spite of all of that, in 1 Thessalonians 5, the Bible says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything, not for everything, but in everything, Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we have to remember that. In Psalms 40 and 16, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Paul said that the Lord would be magnified in his life and in his death. That means to enlarge. We have to enlarge our relationship with God. And Paul says, my life with Christ is going to be magnified by the way that I live. People will see it. Or by my death, because I will be going home to the Lord that I love. For the same reason, Paul writes in Philippians 2 and verse 18, you also be glad and rejoice with me. You know, there are just some people that are never satisfied in life. You ever been around people like that? I mean, nothing's right, ever. It's always bad. It's either too hot or it's too cold. You know, we came into the building this morning and yesterday, and y'all noticed a little cooler weather. Got a little cooler. I came into the building this morning and it was really chilly in here. And so I went back there and set the thermostats where I thought it would be comfortable and not too hot. And lo and behold, people come in and they walk to the thermostats and they start moving and they start changing them all the time to meet themselves, to be comfortable for self. We have to think about everybody else. And you can't do it. You don't walk back there and change it simply because you see a little old lady out there with a fan fanning herself, you know. I mean, that's not a reason to do it. Or a little old man who's doing it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Notice what he said. And again, I will say rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Why are so many people in our world today unfulfilled? And why is it they think that the grass is always greener on the other side? Now listen to what Christ said about this in Matthew 6. He said, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. He says, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Some people are just never satisfied. They're not. There's a lot of people, and I've told you before, they go to their closet in the morning, and you know what they say? I don't have a thing to wear. Do you think women are more guilty of saying that or not than men? Not a word from the women tonight. Why are so many people unfulfilled in life? Paul said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. There is a tremendous difference between being content and being satisfied. Now, I think people ought to be content wherever you find yourself. You can be content with little or content with a lot. Sometimes people are more content with a little than they are a lot. We should never, ever be satisfied. Because when you think about satisfaction, you're talking about just remaining right where you are. You're never moving. You're never growing. You're never advancing. You're never doing more. A spiritual mind is one that finds fulfillment. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says, be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is an assumption, folks. It's really not true. How many of you have ever been driving down the road and you looked at the grass along the highway, then it was real green. You looked over at the pasture and saw that it would just burn up. You don't see that. Grass is grass. We assume that the grass is greener on the other side. Let me tell you what does not bring fulfillment, first of all, and then I'm going to tell you what does bring it, okay? Number one. True fulfillment cannot be found in living only to obtain the things under the sun. If that's what life is really all about, we have missed it altogether. You can't take it with you, as we say. You don't ever see a Brinks truck following a hearse, do you? Ben, have you ever had that happen? You ever had a Brinks truck follow you down to the cemetery? No, you won't ever see that. You won't. They follow you down to the mortuary. No. Living only to obtain things under the sun, you've missed it. In Ecclesiastes 2, Solomon, who was certainly, he was filthy rich. Could we say that? I mean, he had everything in the world going his way. And he says, "And I looked at all the works that my hands had done, and the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity." One translation says a vexation of the spirit. This translation says, "And the grasping of the wind, and there was no profit under the sun." None. Fulfillment cannot be found in the things of the world. A certain rich man found in the book of Luke chapter 12 and 20, the Bible says, "But God said to him," because he thought his money was the essence of life and fulfillment and what it was really all about. He thought the grass is greener on his side. "But God said, you're a fool. And this night your soul shall be required of thee." And he says, "And then who shall these things be which you have provided?" The wealthy Laodiceans. You know, we don't talk about them too much. It was a very wealthy church in the New Testament. It was one of the seven churches that Jesus actually addressed. And he spoke about these churches in ways that people could really, you know, get down to where the rubber meets the road. And he begins to talk about the church at Laodicea who had left their first love. And they were ones who said, because Jesus speaking here, he says, "Because you say, I am rich, and I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched." You think you're happy, but you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, and God could have said, you're unfulfilled. Material wealth can be the source of many sorrows. If you don't believe it, listen to what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6:9. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Well, let me move on. Number two, happiness cannot be found in seeking to be someone you are not. You know, I like impressionists, people that, you know, impersonate other people, and we've seen a lot of those people through the years, and it's amazing sometimes. But sometimes people really try to become that person, and they seek to be someone they are not. And in Matthew 25:25, the Bible talks about a man who had been given a talent like other men had been given talents. And this man was not even willing to try to be better. He said, "I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look," he says, "there you have it. It's right where I buried it." And a lot of people bury their talents. We have to stop trying to be someone you're not. And that just simply means accepting and embracing who you are. Who you are. Someone said, "Bloom where you're planted." You just be the person that God made you to be. He gave you a special DNA when you were born. He doesn't want you to be somebody else. He doesn't. He didn't want Paul to be Peter. He didn't want Peter to be James. He didn't want James to be John. They were all different. They were all unique, and they were all blessed of God Almighty. But it involves letting go of the pressure to conform to other people. You know, that's a big thing in today's world. We call it peer pressure. And we say young people experience peer pressure all the time. And that's true. But you know what? Older people experience it too. We do. We are pressured to conform to others' expectations or to fit into a certain mold. True fulfillment cannot be found in running here and there. And that's what I tell young gospel preachers all the time. I said, stay where you are. Grow the church where you are. Running here and there. And a lot of them, unfortunately, are young people, young men, starting their families. They don't have a whole lot of time to be in the Word. And they preach 3 years of sermons here. And they move to the next town, and they preach those same sermons there. And they're not studying, and they're not growing, they're not advancing. But they think that the grass is going to be greener on the other side. And some are always on the run. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He was a man on the run. Well, he demanded of his father the portion of the estate that would fall to him when the father would die. And the father gave it to him. He took a journey to the foreign country, and he started feeding swine. What he thought would bring fulfillment brought horror and dissatisfaction. He's in that hog pen, and he's saying, I know that my father has bread enough in despair, and I'll just go back, not asking to be a son or restored to that relationship, but I'll go back and I will just ask to be a hired hand because I know my father that he is honest and that he is genuine. He is a man of integrity and he will pay me and he will do what is fair. But there are some people who just can't stand to see other people happy. His brother was that way. Remember the story of the prodigal son's brother? We just call him the elder son. He was so enraged because the father welcomed the son who had gone astray back home. There are a lot of people that are that way. They won't feel satisfied until they throw a wrench into your mood and to make you unhappy. And you must never, ever allow those kind of folks to make you sweat. I don't care who you are. Don't wait for things to get easy, simple, better. Life will always be complicated. We have to learn to be happy right now. Otherwise, you will find yourself on the run, and you won't even know what you're running for. How many of you have ever bought something, and then after you bought it, you started thinking about it, and you said, I wish I hadn't bought that. Well, I wish I hadn't done that. But when he came to himself, this is a young boy, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I'm perishing over here with hunger, Luke 15 and verse 17. Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. What I'm trying to say in this text here is the fact that when we do the will of God, God blesses us, and you will feel fulfilled. Sometimes we seek to get the things of the world to fulfill us, and it ain't going to happen, folks. Jesus said, why do you labor for the meat that doth perish? We have to learn how to be happy with what we have while we work for what we want. It's not wrong to want more. But as I said, you don't want those things to control your life. Sometimes you think you're here instead of there. But it is a matter of perception. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. Now, the grass can be greener. I'm not saying it isn't at times. But sometimes people spend their life and never enjoy their life because they're in search of greener pastures. Well, if that tells me that I can't be fulfilled that way, here's how I find fulfillment. The word fulfillment is a noun, by the way, and it just simply means the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. And isn't it interesting that that is God's definition also? You go back and analyze it all. Achievement is something that God desires for you. He wants you to be fulfilled. It is something that He promised to you and to me. It is the promise of God. And it is something that is predicted. If you want fulfillment, have the right attitude and right priorities in life. Seeking kingdom of God first, Matthew 6 and verse 33. Attitude, as someone has said, is really everything, isn't it? It's reflected in what we do, what we say, how we act, our nonverbal communication to someone. It's based upon your attitude. If I were to ask you tonight, what are your priorities and what is your attitude? But secondly, to be fulfilled, we must be at peace with God and others. That's why Paul says, live peaceably with all men, as much as in you is. And that's why Christ said, of all the great gifts He could give, and in Luke 14, 27, He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world offers to you. It is a peace, Paul describes, that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And it will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, sometimes people go through life, the reason they're unfulfilled is the fact that they haven't found that fulfillment and they don't want anybody else to have it. And then they go through life stirring up trouble all the time. And that, to me, is such a sad, sad thing. To be fulfilled, we must submit to God's pattern or His blueprint for whatever it happens to be. In John 13, Christ said, most assuredly I say unto you that a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you, notice this, He didn't say if you believe them, but He said, blessed are you if you do them. To be fulfilled, be content and grateful in all things. Paul describes himself in Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, he says, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased. There's nothing wrong in being abased. There's nothing wrong in being content. There's nothing wrong in being discontent if we're discontent over the right things. He said, everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You want to be fulfilled? Trust God. Proverbs 3:6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. I'm trusting in Him. I trust in Him every day of my life. I ask God to stay within me. And it's something that everybody ought to pray every day. We should never, ever allow it just to become a slogan. I can do all things through Christ. It has to be more than a slogan or words. To be fulfilled, 1 Peter 3, verse 10 and 12 says, for he who would love life, nothing wrong in loving life. He doesn't condemn loving life. I told you this morning in John 10 and verse 10, Christ said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile or deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace, here it is. And pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. To who? The righteous. His ears are open to the righteous, not every ungodly person in the world, but his ears are open to the righteous. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God speaks of what will happen when he says, "Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us?" Deuteronomy 31. I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever really thought about the fact that God is shielding you right now? He's shielding me. He shields us from a lot of these. You may think you have some troubles going on in your life right now, but you know what? God may be shielding you from trouble that could suddenly maximize itself. But because you're righteous and because you're trying to do the will of God, God's shielding you. He is allowing you to go through a few things over here, but he's shielding you from a lot of things. That's why we should never, ever hold on to anything tighter than we hold on to God. Hold on to him. That's where fulfillment is. And happiness comes to those who are in Christ. Many Christians are unfulfilled. I don't understand it. God wants us to experience fulfillment. A spiritually minded person is a fulfilled person. You know, when David wrote that book of Psalms, chapter 23, did you notice that he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He leads us to the green pasture. What we do is start jumping around and thinking another man's pasture over there is really the greenest and it's the best. No, it's not. I want God to lead me to the green pastures. And the choice is ours. If we are a Christian, then we should live harmoniously with God's will. And stop trying to be someone you're not, and stop trying to seek things that God doesn't want you to seek. You ought to be a person full of joy, peace, and hope, and with the help of Almighty God, you can be. My question tonight to you is, have you made the choice to live for Jesus daily? I'm afraid a lot of Christians live for him only on Sunday. Because we go back out to the work week, hey, we live, a lot of people do, ungodly lives. Why not devote your life as a Christian and experience the fulfillment that God wants you to have? That's our lesson tonight. And I hope that you think about it. I hope you ponder on it. And sometimes we all, get on the wrong track. And we just have to redirect our steps and come back to God. And realize with him, all things are possible. Even greener pastures. Let us stand and let us sing.